that you would be praying this coming week. It's an exciting one of the exciting weeks for me throughout the year. Tomorrow we will be beginning the new campaign, the 2018-2019 season for the Niagara Ice Dogs. And so I just ask that, again, you be praying for the ministry that will be taking place throughout this coming year. Again, I give thanks to God for the avenue I have to be with the team. But I realize that as I go down to the Meridian Center from day to day, that I do not go by myself. I cannot go on my own strength. And I thank you for those of you who faithfully pray for the ministry that takes place there. I was challenged at our General Assembly this past year that I need to step it up, that I need to be bolder, and in confidence that I need to be clearer in the gospel. I want these players, I want the staff, I want them to know clearly their need for Jesus. And so I just thank you for that. So during this week, I should alert you to the fact that our Secretary Irene is away, and I will be in and out, but I will be volunteering down at the training camp throughout the week. But I will, you have my cell phone, so if there's any need for you to connect with me, but I will be in and out. So I don't want you to think that I've gone AWOL, but my wife might be wondering. But you know what? It's an exciting time. I've been enjoying personally going through the Apostles' Creed, being reminded of God's truth and what we as a church believe in. This morning we're going to be looking at I Believe in the Holy Spirit. Next week we are going to be looking at the Holy Catholic Church, the Universal Church, the Communion of the Saints. And then the following week we'll be concluding with the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. So that will take us into September. Anybody else finding it hard to believe next week is Labor Day? It's sort of flown by. So we've got a couple of weeks left in here, and then looking forward to what's lying ahead of us in the fall months. So let's be praying for the ministry that will be starting up in many of our ministries, but the continued ministry of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, if you mention the Holy Spirit, right away, what came to my mind is the Pentecostal church. We were a good alliance. I was a good alliance boy growing up, and it's not that we didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, but I just felt that as soon as I heard those words, I thought, ah, whoa. It's just like they're up the street. And, and we have a lot of misconceptions about what the Holy Spirit is. Many people have many different thoughts about the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a quick quiz right now, and this is a mental quiz. So for those of you who don't know what a mental quiz is, that's you don't shout out your answer, okay? Okay. All right, I'm always a little hesitant because, anyways. So these are all true or false. So most of you right away know that you've got a chance, a 50-50 chance. Actually, it's not that difficult. Okay, with regards to the Holy Spirit, true or false? The Holy Ghost is scary, maybe even deadly, if you don't mind your P's and Q's. It's better to focus on angels or Jesus. True or false? Okay. Second question. The Holy Spirit is available in larger doses from churches that really crank up the music, clap, and make a lot of noise. Some TV preachers seem to have a spirit franchise. True or false? When I'm having a good day as a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit in my life. When I'm in a bad mood or when I sin, I don't. True or false? The Holy Spirit is too holy for me. But people like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham seem to have a lot of him. True or false? If the Holy Ghost said something to me, he would probably speak in Shakespearean English or maybe Latin. True or false? Last one. Hope you're doing okay on these. The Holy Spirit likes you better if you have a dove symbol on your car or shout amen a lot or go to one of those holy roller churches. If you're a shy alliance person, you're pretty much out of luck. True or false? So I would hope that in those six questions, that your answers were all false. If they weren't, and you put true to any of them, go back and just make a mental F over the T and correct it. But as I'm looking into the Apostles' Creed, I believe that there is a great reason why the early church leaders, fathers, have carried on, have made a distinct claim there that I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's for this very reason. If we look in the Scriptures, and if we see that people did not recognize who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah, if they didn't recognize someone in the flesh, in all that God had revealed to them, it wouldn't be hard for me to believe that it would be harder to even accept or to misunderstand the Spirit who you can't see. So in the early church, we see that there were many false teachings that were coming into place that were threatening the teaching of the church. And the Holy Spirit was not sheltered from these heresies. In the 2012 issue of Relevant magazine, Jack Levinson wrote 5 misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit. But it's his final quote that I want to share with you. If you think the Holy Spirit's work moves suddenly and spontaneously, that it always appears in glamorous and authoritative displays, think again. The Spirit of God is steady, always present, and always at work, whether in spectacular or simple ways. And so this morning, I want us to look at the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I want us to look at the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that as we look at the Scriptures, we can see who the Holy Spirit is. I think as we look in the Holy Scriptures, not only can we see who the Holy Spirit is, but we can see what he does in the life of the believer. And so that is what we're going to be looking at. But I want to just go back this morning to chapter 14, and I read starting in verse 15, but I want to look at a couple of verses before that. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's teaching them that he is the way to the Father. But in verse 12 of chapter 14, Jesus says these words, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." I remember the first time I heard that verse, that he will do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I thought, how is it possible that when we look at all that Jesus did, that I or you could do greater things than that? And I believe that as we look through this passage and as we look into the book of Acts and as we look throughout the New Testament, we see that it is possible because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we look at the Holy Spirit, and we see that the Holy Spirit is a person. I think we need to be reminded of the promise of the Holy Spirit. I think we also need to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ran out of peas after 4, and I'm sure some of you might think of another one, but that's where we're going to be this morning. Really looking at the person of the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Holy Spirit is what I want to focus on. The Holy Spirit is not some abstract concept. The Holy Spirit is not just some vapor, it's some essence, some force. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And so as we are looking at the Scripture this morning, I want us to understand that when we look at what a person is, I believe there are 3 things that go into defining a person. The Holy Spirit has intelligence. You look into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, you see that he knows the things of God. Romans chapter 8, he has a mind. And then throughout the Scriptures, and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're reminded that he teaches people. So we see the intelligence of the Holy Spirit. As a person, the Holy Spirit has emotions. The Holy Spirit can be offended, grieved, and we see that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Holy Spirit loves. We see that in Romans chapter 15. The third part is that he has a will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about the gifts. The gifts are distributed by the Spirit, according to the Spirit's will. And so this morning, as we begin, let us be reminded that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a member of the Trinity, the Godhead, three in one, and he has this personality that contains intelligence, emotions, and will. And so that would be our starting point this morning. As we look through the Scriptures, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can look into the creation account, and we can see that the Holy Spirit was involved there. We see the Holy Spirit was, according to Genesis chapter 1, the darkness, verse 2, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so throughout the Scriptures, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just didn't show up in the book of Acts. He was talked about by Jesus in the Gospels. We see his presence in the Gospels, but really from creation to the time of Christ, we can look through the Scriptures, and as you walk through the Scriptures, you'll see the presence of the Holy Spirit. Again, he was part of creation. We see that throughout the history of the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit came upon certain people for a certain task, for a certain time. We understand the Scriptures, and we'll get into this more in a few moments, that when we come to faith in Christ, that we receive the Holy Spirit. But it's not something that comes and goes. But up until the time where the Holy Spirit was given by the Father, as was promised, the Holy Spirit came upon people for a certain time, for a certain task. And so we see that in the Scriptures. We can look and we can see in Genesis, we see that it is credited that Joseph, that the Spirit was upon him. We can look into Numbers 27 and we see the same is said about Joshua. Daniel chapter 5, again, these people are described as leading lives that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so even in those days, that when the Spirit came out, there was an indwelling, there was an empowering by the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. When we consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and there are many that we are going to see this morning related to our own personal walk, we see that the Holy Spirit is very involved throughout the Scriptures in bringing, I believe, testimony to the Word. And the Word incarnate, the Word written, the Word eternal, the Word spoken. And so we see this in the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit brought God's message to men who spoke for God, for the prophets. In the Old Testament writers and prophets themselves attributed their words to the Holy Spirit. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 2, we see this, that it is given to the credit to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, referring to King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, said that his words were given by the Holy Spirit in Matthew chapter 22. Paul, the writer of many of the New Testament books, said that the Old Testament prophets and writers received the message from the Holy Spirit. Peter, the apostle, said this in 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, I hope that we have an understanding that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is eternal, has all the attributes of God. The Holy Spirit is ministering to continue to this day. I believe that the Holy Spirit, when it was poured out and received at Pentecost, will continue to minister to the time of Christ's return. And so as we look at this morning, we need to understand, and I am only touching it, it would be impossible for me to cover every truth about the Holy Spirit in one message. And I wouldn't recommend that for any pastor to even try. But hopefully you can get a glimpse of what has been revealed to us when it comes to who the Holy Spirit is. Ben Myers, in his book, The Apostles' Creed, said the Holy Spirit is self-effacing. This means it's the Holy Spirit at times can almost seem to be inconspicuous, almost in the background, almost in humility, is the one who is works in tandem with God's Word, again, incarnate, spoken, and written. And so here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One person said, the Father plans, the Son accomplishes, the Spirit applies. And when we think of God's redemptive work and wanting to see mankind saved, we see that according to the Father's plan, that the Son was sent. The Son accomplished all that had to be done in order that man could be saved. And I believe through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we see that applied in our lives. And so this is where we see the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of the believers? I want us to take a walk through the scriptures this morning. So let me start by coming to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is about to leave his disciples. And as he's about to leave his disciples, he tells them these words according to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so again, we see that what had been promised was going to be received by the apostles in Jerusalem, and that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would receive power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were eating was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And we see this time and time again, that as the Holy Spirit has been received throughout the book of Acts, that there are some incredible manifestations of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit was received first at Jerusalem, when he's received by the Gentiles, and throughout the book of Acts. And we see the Holy Spirit filling the lives of these believers. And they spoke the word of God boldly. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to speak it boldly. Romans chapter 8. Let me read verses 11 through 16. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh, to living according to it. For if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's a lot here. But the Spirit, when the Spirit comes upon us, sets us free. We're no longer slaves. We are set free. We receive the sonship. We are heirs of Jesus Christ. And so this is all through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who just as he raised Jesus from the dead, the ministry of the Holy Spirit raises us. Carry on. Romans chapter 8, continuing in the same one, in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This morning I was in my office, and I'm not sure if any of you have signed up for the prayer time with Jake Birch, but I thought for me, from 20 after 10, 20 after 9 to 20 to 9:40 Sunday morning, I'm here. I blocked it out, and I went into prayer. Now, 20 minutes, I'm praying for Halifax, for Dalhousie. About 5 minutes into my prayer, I thought I prayed for every soul in Halifax by name. And but if you had that, if you ever had that experience where you're sitting there and I'm going and I just was silent. And I had this incredible presence of the Spirit come upon me that started leading my mind in ways to pray. And I believe that's the way the Holy Spirit goes. I mean, it can be a frightening thing for some people to say, hey, could you pray for 1 hour this week? And some people would say, yeah, maybe, or for a certain thing or a certain day. And yet, you know, when I think when we recognize and we see the Spirit's presence in our lives, there are those times when as we are in prayer and we don't know what to pray, all of a sudden, as we're in surrender to the Holy Spirit, boy, our minds come awake. And I see that here. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit does in a person's life. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament, may the hope, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Yes, the God of hope. And that hope we receive by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God, come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Holy Spirit. There are mysteries of the Gospels. There are truths in God's Word that as we read, sometimes initially don't become very clear. But there is this ministry of the Holy Spirit that illumines our mind. And so the Spirit not only leads us into God's truth, but as it's revealed, but opens our eyes to the truth that we read. And so this is the ongoing ministry of that we see of the Holy Spirit as given to us throughout the Scriptures, but in the lives of the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to jump ahead to this one, starting in verse 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of the knowledge of the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, still the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one Spirit and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I believe the Scriptures make it quite clear that as we come into faith in Jesus Christ, that each one of us receives at least one gift. And so we see here that there is the Scripture teaching. In fact, it tells us to desire the greater gifts. And it brings up a lot of discussion when you bring up the greater gifts. I think I've shared with you openly that in my life, there's been times where I've been in situations where I've been talked to, where someone's talked to me about experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, yes, I have. I've experienced that. And their question was, so you've spoken in tongues. I said, no. And then the debate starts. I believe that when I look at Scriptures, I see that there were times that when God's Spirit was poured out, that there was the manifestation of tongues. And it was for the glory of God. It was for something that was being revealed and that was being received, especially at Pentecost and then later on to the Gentiles. I do believe in the different gifts that are in the Scriptures that they still are active in this day. But I do not believe that everybody has the gift of tongues. And that might be a shock to some of you. But when I see what I read into desiring the greater gifts, what I believe is contained in chapter 13. because I believe when you look at the gifts that were given to the church, when I look at chapter 13, I believe that chapter 13 has everything as much to do with the church as chapter 12. We call it the love chapter, and I think sometimes it immediately goes into relationships, but I believe it's talking to the church. And I believe that the greatest gifts that we can eagerly desire are faith, hope, and love. Okay? And if you disagree with me, I've said it before, it's okay for you to be wrong. Okay? So, but no, in all seriousness, that's what I believe. And I believe that the Holy Spirit continues to equip us, and it continues to gift us. And the giving of gifts are for the edification of the church, the building of the church. Carry on here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit, comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I believe that when we look at the Scriptures, I believe that we see that the Holy Spirit is in the ministry of transforming us more into the likeness of Jesus. We can look in Galatians chapter 4, Galatians 4, starting in verse 4, but when the time set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child, and since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. One of the privileges that we have in being a Christian through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you two more, and you know what? I would encourage you just to have a walk through the New Testament, through the letters. And I think you'll see that there's so much written about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Lord, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strength that we can receive from the Holy Spirit, but also I believe when the Holy Spirit continues to work in our life, that through this, that our eyes are open to understand and experience the depth of the love of our God. And the further we go, I believe the further that we are surrendered to the Spirit, the further God reveals himself. You know, when we look into the Scriptures, we see we certainly have the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Scriptures say that we receive the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, and our message to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes or no, but in him has always been yes. For no matter how many of the promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both of us, and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes residence in our life. Again, we see in our hearts. And again, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. There's the seal of the Holy Spirit on the life of the believer. Now, it's interesting because I don't believe that you can only have a part of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I don't believe that you can, the Holy Spirit, when we become a believer, when we become a child of God, that the Holy Spirit only can get, like, has the toe in the door. Okay? I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit. But I believe that as we unclutter through surrender, that the Holy Spirit takes full residence in our lives. And in humility, then we surrender ourselves, and it's then that we see the Holy Spirit set free. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is experienced more and more by the believer as we surrender. And so this morning, may that be a reminder to us that while we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believer, does the Holy Spirit have all of us? Does God have all of us? In order for God to have all of us, we need to surrender. And so again, this is what the scriptures are leading us to. John chapter 4, verses 13, starting in verse 13. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that Jesus, but the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. The way that Jesus lives in us is by his indwelling Spirit. And so this morning, I would hope that we can look into God's Word, and I hope that we have an understanding of who the Spirit is. I hope that we can understand who the Spirit is, that the Spirit is God. The Spirit is a person. And then I think we need to understand what the Spirit is doing in our lives. That as we look at the scriptures, that the Spirit is at work within us. I want to go back to that verse in John chapter 14, that you will do greater things. And how is that possible? Jesus is talking to his disciples. And as he's talking to his disciples, he says to them, you will do greater things. What are some of the things Jesus has done? Well, he's fed the multitudes. He's raised people from the dead. He's calmed storms. All things that are out of the ordinary for the average person. I think that goes without saying. And Jesus says, you're going to do greater things. And we saw Jesus do some amazing things. But I think the why Jesus is saying that you're going to do greater things is because through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is going to be multiplied infinitely through the church. Then when we look at it, that there was 12 disciples that the Spirit came upon, and then the others in the room. Well, and as we look at it, there was 11, and then those who were in the room. And they were filled, and they went out, and they were earth changers. They were game changers. Why? Because of their own competence? No, look through the scriptures, and you can see that they were about the most incompetent group that you could ever pull together. But Jesus knew that their strength was going to be through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. And that's why he said, you're going to do greater things. While Jesus was on this planet, while he was in a physical shell, he was not omnipresent. Jesus, when you look at his ministry, was focused in a certain area for a certain amount of time, always led by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you're going to do greater things. As he's talking to his disciples, you're going to do greater things. How? Because the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, is going to indwell you, is going to empower you, and you're going to be used, multiplied over and over and over again. And that's why I believe I can read the scriptures and I can understand that greater things you will do. Do you believe that? Because that's the way the church has grown. The church has grown because Jesus Christ is being proclaimed as the only way to salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence of the believers around the world. And it continues this day. So this morning, as we are looking on these things, we need to, again, realize that we have been called by God as we enter into faith. As we enter into faith in Jesus Christ, there is a new life. We receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's ministry is to continue to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ and to equip us to continue to see the church built, that we are gifted to encourage and build up one another and to go beyond these walls with the truth of God's, of the gospel, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer said that if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everyone would know the difference. That was written back in the early 60s. So 50-some-odd years later, the church, again, needs to be reminded. I need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God will continue to build his church, but never in our strength, but always through the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Let us be a people who believe in the Holy Spirit. The Father plans, the Son accomplishes, the Spirit applies. To God be the glory. Let us pray.